Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Here's my challenge to you this morning. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2, and let me read just a little bit here. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 12. Stand with me, please, out of the respect for God's Word. Everything here is Bible-centered, always, always, always. Not preacher-centered, Bible-centered. Very important. It says, and Elijah's coming to the end of his life, and he knows God is going to take him home. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah, and I circled these words, Elijah went to Elijah. Now we're going to read in the next several verses, it's the other way around. But Elijah knew he was going home to heaven, and he reached out to the next generation. We reach the next generation or die. You know, without compromise. And Elijah did not compromise. It was Elijah that was following after Elijah all the time. It was Elijah that picked up Elijah's mantle. Nothing changed. He was the next prophet in line. But Elijah was smart enough to reach to the next generation and prepare Elijah. And so he went to Elijah from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elijah, these words are repeated three times, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. I'm going to Bethel. You stay here. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Man, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going with you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, this happened each time. A group of preachers, sons of the prophets, preachers in training, when they'd come out and they'd say to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing following Elijah? Don't you know he's going home to heaven? And Elijah would not be deterred. And he said, I know it. And by the way, there's a whole generation around us trying to pull people away from God, doing their very best to pull them away from New Testament Christianity. I mean, the kind that has do's and don'ts. I mean, the kind that obeys the Word of God. Pull them away from it. And that's kind of the cultural thing going on right now, the cultural shift going on right now. And Elijah each time would say, I know he's going home, but I'm with him. And he followed him. Verse 4. Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. I'm not going to turn to the right or turn to the left. I'm staying with thee. I'm staying with the Word of God. And they too went on. And I circled that. That'd be a great title for a message. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, and by the way, the sons of the prophets didn't go over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said unto him, or said, I pray thee with great faith, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know what Elijah was saying? I know you're still standing, all right? Just hang on. What Elijah was saying is, there's still a great work to be done, and I can't get it done, Elijah. Sir, my request is a double portion of whatever you've got. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Father in heaven, would you bless the word of God? Bless your people as they hear the word of God. Bless and use this preacher that is preaching in all of his frailties. And God, we pray that your work would be done here in this place this morning. And may people accept this July challenge for real. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to read the next couple of verses. And it came to pass, verse 11, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, because no longer would his own strength do. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He picked up Elijah's mantle that fell as Elijah was being carried away into heaven. And he put that mantle on and he walked back to the river Jordan, the river that they just, and he bound up that mantle and he smote the waters just like Elijah had done just before him. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters parted. Now, this isn't my whole message, but this is the big thought. God wants to use you this July. I know it's hot. I know there's difficulties ahead. I know there are the siren voices of the world are calling your name, but God wants to use you this July. You could ask God for a double portion of Elijah's power. You could ask God to do twice as much as you've ever done before. God wants to use you. You ought to cry out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elijah, by the way, performed twice as many miracles as Elijah. We read a deep book, a rich word of God. We worship a God that's real and powerful. Don't get sidetracked. New Testament Christianity is not a hobby. Jesus is not an add-on to your life. Man, he is to be the very breath of life. He's why you exist. He's why you live and love and serve. He's the reason for still being alive on this earth. He's the one that's given you eternal life. And you got to be careful. I know of no other way to word it, because I'm a youper and I kind of look down on things I see sometimes going on in churches, and I recognize a lot of it kind of drifts up from, dare I say, you know, we have radio listeners downstate, but the Grand Rapids kind of Christianity, you know what I'm saying? And any Bible, biblicist, New Testament Christian in Grand Rapids, they know exactly what I'm talking about. That downstate, casual, hobby kind of Christianity. That add-on kind of Christianity. Yeah, and if we're not careful, we'll end up that way ourselves. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to get some things done. Here's the truth of it. If we just be united like the first century church, and we be doctrinally pure like the first century church, and we stay conservative, and that'll happen if you're doctrinally pure, God will use us like he used the first century church. Jesus made a promise in John 14. He said, greater works will you do than I did, because I go to the Father and pray for you. All that power is available. Okay, I got a few simple things I want to share with you. I've got seven of them. I won't spend much time on any of them. Number one, you might be here today and you're not saved. You need to get saved. That's obvious. I always want to preach the gospel. Man, I always want to be evangelistic in all of my messages. 7.5 billion people on this planet. And the majority of them are not yet born again, need Christ. Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, it is the will of the Father that not one of these little ones should perish. That's what Jesus said. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who would have all men to be saved. That's the will of God. He would have everybody get born again. We had people walk the aisle and get saved here last week, baptized last week. We had people get saved at camp this week, and it was nine boys and girls received Christ as their Savior. We had six or seven saved during the week by soul winners. You see, that's really going on here? Yeah. Why don't you come on in? The water's fine. Why don't you get busy? Stop having a New Testament Christianity that's a hobby. Make it a lifestyle. But if you're here today and you're not born again, you need to know this. Jesus wants you saved. He wants you born again. We need to remain evangelistic here at Fundamental Baptist Church. This is a gospel preaching, walk the aisle kind of New Testament Christianity, where people are confronted with the truth and come to Christ. Last week, one of them was Spencer. He's here this morning in the front. He was in the back. and walked the full length of the aisle and got saved. That's hungry for the truth. You know, you need to be born again. And that's what we are about. We sing from our hearts. We read from our Bibles, King James Bibles, not something that's watered down or is weak. You know, we stay at it, and God honors His Word. Man, I love what a privilege we have. Number one, month of July. If you're not saved, you get saved. If you are saved, you get some other people saved. Real simple. Number two, if you're not baptized, get baptized. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew in chapter 28. You turn quickly, you get there fast, and I may let you out of here by 5:02. All right? It's not a promise. It's not written in the Word of God, but I'm gonna do my best. I really am. Matthew and chapter 28. You might be here and you're saved and you've never been baptized. Jesus says here in Matthew in chapter 28 and verse 19, Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's evangelism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's them identifying with Christ, becoming actually a member of the church. And verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that is discipleship. Baptism does not save. If you're not born again and you get baptized, you go down a dry sinner and you come up a wet sinner. That water has no power to wash away sin. Has there ever been a more foolish thought in all of the world? There's no such thing as holy water. That doesn't happen. That water cannot wash away sin. That's H2O. That comes right out of our well over there is where it comes out of. Well, people got baptized in the River Jordan, the muddy River Jordan. Man, that couldn't wash away their sin. It's a picture of the salvation that takes place in the heart. Someone gets born again. They are spiritually, by the Holy Spirit, baptized into the family of God. They're indwelt, they're immersed, and they're sealed by God the Holy Spirit. New Testament Christians, Acts in chapter 2, whenever someone got saved, there were 3,000 on the first day of the church. They got born again, they received the Word of God. Then they followed the Lord in the waters of baptism. So, baptism doesn't save, doesn't change the direction that a sinner is going in. It's someone that is already born again that gets saved. An unbaptized believer, someone that is born again, but they refuse to be baptized, they're being disobedient. First step of obedience, identify with Christ. Testify. Let everybody know. Jesus said, this is how you can do it. I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6. Buried in the likeness of His death. Sprinkling a little water doesn't do that. Anybody ever been to a funeral where they took people out to the graveyard, laid them on top, and sprinkled a little dirt on their head? That's not burial. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised again to walk in newness of life. The word the Greek word for baptism, means to immerse. All right? So after you get born again, You follow the Lord in the waters of baptism, you're being obedient. Believer's baptism, that's what that's called. Get saved. If you're not already baptized, get baptized. Believer's baptism, that's the Bible way. It's for the New Testament local church. It's God blessing. It's people identifying with Him. Number three, go to 2 Timothy. No, go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're familiar with that verse. Acts in chapter 17, verse 10 says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. These were brethren that loved the scriptures. You show me a believer that does not love the Bible, and I will show you a believer that does not really love his Savior. They loved the scriptures so that they searched them daily. Now, I want to challenge you. So we're all taking the same journey, and we're all on just about the same spot on the path of life. For the month of July, for Fundamental Baptist Church, let's read the whole New Testament this month. If we would read the whole New Testament together as a church, it'd be the biggest step forward this church has ever taken. In 30 days' time, God will grow you and God will grow me in unbelievable ways. Fill in all the cracks where you're really lacking. God will feed your soul, strengthen your spirit. God will make you alive on the inside. You say, read the whole New Testament? Man, that's a lot of Bible. No, it's not really a lot of Bible. That's actually 260 chapters. You could cover the entire New Testament, and the slow part is the first four books, by the way. But you could cover the whole New Testament if you'd read 8.5 chapters a day. That takes a little effort. So that's a long time. Not really. Average reader, 4.5 minutes per chapter. After all Jesus has done, couldn't you be a Bible student? Couldn't you really be a man of God? A lady of the book? The scriptures? Couldn't you love the Bible like we're told to love the Bible? I'm telling you, take this as a challenge, church. Charles Spurgeon said, if I could just get my people to read their Bibles daily, my ministry will have been a success here in this earth. Boy, that's a fact. You don't need to be spoon-fed everything from the pulpit. If you would get in the book, you say, I'm a slow reader. Read it. So what? So if it took you 2 months. So if you read 4 chapters a day, which, by the way, you can do in no time at all. Find a way to get the Bible into your heart. You read the whole New Testament in 18 hours and 24 minutes. We're going to stand at the Bema seat. Jesus will be on the throne, who, by the way, is called the Word of God. That'll actually be written on his thigh at the Battle of Armageddon. And according to John in chapter 1, Jesus, another name for him is the Word of God. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you love Jesus and you're not reading your Bible. Yeah, those are empty words in the ears of our God. Take your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to try to find it here in my Bible. Here it is, Joshua chapter 1. You're familiar with this verse, just verse 8. I want to give you something very practical. Not original with me. I heard a preacher preach it this week when I was listening to a radio message. I love that. I want to get all the Bible I can. I listen all the time. I finally got the King James Bible app on my phone. You know, you can cover a lot of Bible while you're in the car if you just turn that thing on and listen. I mean a lot of Bible. Look what it says here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Never get away from it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For the unthinking, casual child of God, the Bible is not the main thing. Something else is. For the unthinking casual child of God, the dynamic equivalence, if you know anything about Bible translations, you know what I'm talking about here. For them, the dynamic equivalence translation of Scripture, that's good enough. But good enough doesn't cut it with God. Good enough doesn't cut it as far as eternal truth. I believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. I have a book right here that is taken from the Textus Receptus, the majority text, the only translation taken from that group of manuscripts, which is the true Word of God. God promised to preserve His book. Man, I love the Word of God. I love it. I think of old evangelist Curtis, who I grew up listening to, and we had him here at Fundamental Baptist Church years and years and years ago in the old building, in the original old building. And he'd kiss his Bible when he got up to preach. An old man. Old man. Dark suit, funny way he tied his tie. It was one of those flip-over things. He was old school. I mean an old man, big, thick glasses down on the end of his nose and an oversized nose and oversized ears. That happens when you get old. I don't know if you know that or not. You people that are getting older, the nose never stops growing. The ears never stop growing. I just thought I'd encourage you just a little bit. That's why you used to be good looking. I mean, okay. But that's the way he was. And he always had dandruff. You know, he was an old man. That's just the way it was. There was dandruff, but he loved the Scripture. And he'd walk up to the pulpit with those little nursing home type steps, you know, just. And he'd get over there and he'd hold the Bible up and talk of his love for the Word. And he'd take and he'd kiss it. And I always thought, what is that corny? That's corny. He was in love with the book. He was a preacher of the Word of God. What a truth. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The word should never depart out of your mouth. I'm going to tell you how to change your Bible reading. Verbalize it. Don't read to yourself. Read out loud. It's amazing what you hear. Your own voice. If you're reading to yourself, it's too easy to speed read. I know what that is. I do that all the time. Just kind of fly. And you're getting the main topics, you know. And some people can do it better than other people. Some people are magnificent at it. But you've got to read for content. Read the Bible out loud in your devotions. That'll help you. It'll make a big difference. You listen to yourself. It'll go from the mouth to the mind. That's amazing. It'll go from the mouth to the mind, and there it gets to the heart. When you actually hear your own voice reading Holy Scripture, there's a challenge. Hey, 8 chapters a day. Get serious about prayer. Be consistent in your prayer. I'm gonna make this real fast. Just take your Bible, turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 5. Praise God for that air conditioning. I know it's hotter outside than it is in here right now, but right now at this pulpit, it is hot right now up here at the front. I don't know if it's hot where you are, but whew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, but when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues. You know, everything's a show. And in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men, verily I say unto you, they have the reward. That's Jesus that said that. Anybody that's got that superficial, showy kind of religion, and that's all it is, Jesus said, you got your reward, man. I want people's hearts. I'm not interested in show business. Verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he'll reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they speak that they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It goes on and says, God knows what you need. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Live in prayer. You can't do that with a hobby religion. Live in prayer. Walk with God. Be praying constantly. You don't need to make a show about it. It can be in your heart. It can be silently. But have a relationship. Walk with the King. Talk with him all the time. Daniel and David, we have record, Old Testament record. They had prayer time 3 times a day, morning and evening, and at noon will I cry aloud unto the Lord, Daniel said. Man, all the time. Just be a man of prayer. I challenge you in the month of July. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're not baptized, get baptized. Read your Bible. Read the New Testament through in the book of July. It'll change our church. It'll change your home. Say, I haven't been doing that. How's it going at home? How are things really going? Really? How's Junior? Man, how's the relationship with the wife? How about the bills? How's that going? It can't be a hobby. It's got to be real. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Be consistent in your prayer. We do without so much because of a lack of prayer. We live like spiritual paupers because we never cry out to God specifically. Join the church. Go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Boy, there's a lot I want to say about that. Somebody was joking with me this morning. I'm not preaching to any individual right now. This is what God laid on my heart. I got this message mid-spring, all right? And I just kind of develop it and kind of pray over it and meditate upon it and that kind of thing. But man, David was fiercely loyal to the house of God. Those are my words, but that's very accurate. Fiercely loyal. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to live in the tents of wickedness. Man, anytime, but was it New Testament? Hebrews chapter 10. Anytime the doors were open, man, I am there. Here's what I'm preaching now this morning before I read this 27th Psalm. I hope you haven't become a one service a week kind of Christian. I've seen that too often. I know where that goes. This just came to me this morning. In my prayer, right here. It's the Lord's day, not the Lord's hour. Don't be like those liberal churches. Punch a time clock. I want once a week. That's what they do, by the way. Once a week, they're pretty spiritual. The believers in the church of Berea, daily. Man, they couldn't get enough. Look what David says here in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, desire, yearn for, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. He wasn't playing games. That wasn't a casual New Testament weak kind of Christianity. Wasn't a hobby to David. I speak as the pastor with God as my witness, nobody in my mind. No faces in my mind right now. I can make my mind blank real easy. No problem. All right? No problem. This is for the whole church because we all need to hear it. Everybody. You ought to be faithful to every service. Say, I used to. What's your reason for not? What's happening? I've seen this, I might say 1,000 times. And I don't think that would be an exaggeration. Somebody gets saved, they're on fire for God. Man, they're red hot, man. They don't miss anything. They even go to prayer meeting. They're even interested in other people. They're going to prayer meeting, and they know they can't let a week go by without meeting corporately as a church. Pastor Josh preached on that a week ago, did a real good job. They're there for Sunday school, because Sunday school is important. That's line upon line, precept upon precept. Sunday morning, and that's the easy one, by the way. Sunday night, man, that's for the family. I go there, and I just get all I can. Wednesday night, it's just like an oasis in the middle of the week. And then something happens, they stop Sunday school. For whatever reason, Wednesday's tough. God bless you men and women that work all day long, and the preacher expects you to come to church on Wednesday night. I know, there'll be rewards. There will be, all right? And you're there because you're helping in the harness of the gospel, and you care about people on Wednesday night. God bless you. But something happens, it kind of falls away. And then Sunday night, it's easy to miss Sunday night. It's hot, you know. Kids got to go to school tomorrow. Wait a minute, this is July, isn't it? You can come up with all kinds of reasons. And then before long, it's just Sunday morning. And I'll prophesy, and then before long, it's not Sunday morning. I can point in every direction in Chippewa County. I can drive through every town, every village, every little area, and point to people's homes where they used to come to Fundamental Baptist Church. And I think they got saved. I do. Glory to God. I'm glad for that. But they're the used to comers. Be faithful. If you haven't joined the church, this morning's a good morning to do it. Be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Let me just close. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Turn over there, please. I got to preach this every year about this time. It's about as hot as it gets in the UP. Don't keep taking off clothes, man. Don't do that. Got to be modest. Got to be holy. Don't quit your cussing. God's name is not a swear word. Don't be that kind of person that drinks and shoots up and does all kinds of drugs on the side. Man, we got to live holy lives. Don't be ignorant. Don't be belligerent. Live a holy life. Live a life that's pleasing to God. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification," that's separation, "that ye may abstain from fornication." We need to be a holy people.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.